We are going to continue in our series on the Book of Ruth, and I hope it's been a good one, because it's a great book, and there are definitely some of you are like, oh, just this rom-com of a book, right? Oh, where are the swords and the action? Where is God parting the Red Sea? But it's a great book when you get into it, and to see the provision of God and how his love is just on display. So I want to show you a picture that is probably going to cause some anxiety for some of you. All right, so bear with me here. So take a look at this picture. Some of you may have some anxiety right now, right? This is where we are as a culture, right? If some of you, did you ever get down like your poor phone's like, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. What you're asking, it's too much, right? By the way, did we lose Aaron? Some of our younger people, does this cause you anxiety when you see this or no? You're good. Okay, good, good. Because there was a time where most of us grew up in a time without cell phones. But when you get to that, what am I going to do? Oh my gosh! So then you start texting people. I'm running out of battery. Just so you know, I'm going to be okay. Or you just like, and then it's like you tune out to the world, and then you realize I'm all alone. like I'm all alone. You love it. You love it. there are days. By the way, how many of us get to the end of our day and we feel like that? I saw a wonderful statistic this week. If you are out past 9 o'clock and you see somebody over 40, there's a 100% chance they took a nap earlier in the day. 100% chance. 100% chance they took a nap earlier in the day if they're out past 9, just so you know. Right? Right. Right. So it's true. I mean, how many of us get to the end of our day and we're just drained? Like, I got nothing left. And then the pastor calls and wants to have a deep conversation, right? Text, Matt. Text, please. Like, there are times and seasons and things that happen to us that just seem to drain us all the time. And I think some of us can feel this way very easily at the end of our day. You just got nothing left. I have nothing. So I want to use that as an opportunity to jump off this idea of being drained, having nothing, of having a dead battery. I want to use that as a jumping off point into Ruth chapter 3. But in order to see that, I have to have us go back to Ruth chapter 2. So if you have your Bible with me, just open up to the last part of Ruth chapter 2, and I want to take a look at the very end. So Ruth, she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Now, this was a seven-week period from the beginning of the barley harvest to the end of the barley harvest. They would go out, and so what she was commanded to do was to go out and pick up what was left over and to have enough food so her and her mother-in-law could live. And the men of Boaz were instructed not to harm her, not to bother her, but she was going to have everything she needed. But here she was doing the work every day, and I guarantee you by the end of it, she was probably pretty exhausted. She probably needed a nap, right? She probably needed a break. And here she was just at the end of it. She was getting up. It doesn't say Naomi did anything. We don't know how old Naomi was, but it seems like Ruth was the primary supporter of the family at that point. Going out every morning, getting up, doing the work, and I guarantee you by the end of the day and at the end of the 7 weeks, she was probably just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm drained. So that's going to set up the beginning of chapter 3. So just turn your page or look over to the next one. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Notice the wording here. Do you see it there? My daughter-in-law, should I not seek rest for you? A place where you can rest. The word is Manoach, by the way, if you want to know, for my Hebrew scholars out there. The word is Manoach, and it's the same. The wording is used when the dove flew out of the ark to find the dry land. Remember when Noah puts the ark? It says that the dove came back because it couldn't find any place to rest. There is no resting place for the dove. So the idea, what she's saying is, Naomi, should I not find a place where you can just hang your hat up at the end of the day, to take a place where you are restored? How many of you get to the end of your day and you just want to just zone out, right? You just want to just, I'm checking out for the day. There have been times when the kids come up to me and I'm like, sorry guys, that's it. Like, no questions. I can't help you with anything. I'm done. I'm spent. And what she wants for Naomi, wants for her daughter, is to be restored. To be restored. Now, her suggestion, should I not seek rest for you? Where is she seeking to find that rest? Take a look at her suggestion. Is not Boaz here with whose young, is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were, with whose young women you were with, oh my gosh, I can't do this one. Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were, right? This idea that when Ruth was out in the field, she says, could I not find some rest for you in Boaz, right? Now, hang tight. This is not like a man solves everything kind of verse right here. This is not, please don't hear me out as some type of like, everything you need in your life will be solved by a man. In fact, most of you know that we're more trouble than we're worth, right? Most of you will agree to that, right? But, so there's no pitchforks and knives here today, so just hear me out. But what Naomi is saying is that, should I not find a place for you where you are loved, appreciated, where you are restored? And she actually says, I want this to be a place where you are understood. And so she suggests Boaz, a place to be loved and cared for. And all of a sudden, as I'm reading this, I realize that Naomi is making suggestions that relationships, our relationships, both intimate and I would even say platonic and spiritual, are meant to be places where we get restored. Relationships are meant to be a place where we are restored. You know, we've seen intimate relationships that are called to mimic God's love for us. That's what a marriage is meant. We just got through a marriage series, and I'm kind of here. We're jumping back into these waters a little bit because I want you to understand this. Our relationships are meant to reflect God's love for us and into other people. That's why this is so important. When she says, should I not seek a place where you can just be restored, to breathe life back into you? Can Boaz be that for you? And what she's saying really is, can your relationship mimic what God wants for you? A place to be restored, a place to be reconnected. And that's what relationships are meant to be, a place where there's security and love, and most importantly, rest. Rest. Godly relationships are meant to be a place of rest, both intimate and I would even say platonic, meaning like friends. If you have friends, how are you in relationships to your friends? This is what they're meant to be. And so my question is, how are we doing reflecting God's love in our relationships? Whether that's a relationship with your kids, whether that's a relationship to your spouse, whether that's a relationship to your coworkers, a godly relationship is meant to be a place where you find rest, where people come to you and they experience a little bit of heaven on earth, and they experience the best thing who God is being moved through you and coming out. And so Naomi is saying, she goes, Ruth, should I not begin to work in a way that you will get to the end of your day and you are loved and you are cared for and you are appreciated and that you find this place of home and rest and just fall apart, right? That's what it's meant to be. So Naomi's on the case here. But my question is, how are we doing reflecting that? Take a look over the course of the week of some of your relationships. Man, Tab's not making eye contact with me. She's not making eye contact with me right now. She's like, nope. Are we providing rest for people? Are we restoring people? Are we building people up? Or are we tearing people down? Are we pushing people away? Are we saying, you know what, I just need me time here? While those things are great, One thing I want you to just keep on your radar, it is important to God that through our relationships, we pour, invest into others. We challenge others. We encourage along the way. And we love along the way. And that's what we're called to do. Listen, it's no, I'm not pulling any wool over your eyes. Ruth is a romantic book. There's a lot of romance. You would pull this from the rom-com section, like of the store, right? Back, that's a Blockbuster reference, by the way, right? Some of you don't even understand that. But anyway, like this is, it's a love story. It's what it is. And as we go through a love story, I can't ignore the relationship that's going on in this story. And for Ruth, Naomi wanted her to have a person who invested heart and soul. And I hope that some of you in your relationships want somebody to invest into you that way. And the challenge is, are we investing into others to be a place where we find rest? I can tell you, I can look over the course of my week and I can be like, I was probably more frustrating than I was life-bearing, life-giving this week. And those are some challenges that I want to be able to say, God, use me to be a vessel by which you speak and love and care this week. So my question is, how are we doing with this? By the way, there's one easy way to tell, by the way. Is the relationship you are thinking about, does it provide this or this? Think of that for a second. Because there are days that, man, I know that I've cost people a whole lot of this, especially in my personal life. And what we're called to do is bring people to a level of restoration and fullness. This is what we're aiming. This is what God wants for relationships. People will know you by the way you love one another. This is how Jesus said, when you invest into others, when you love others, when you care for others, do they leave your presence drained or full? And my question is, if somebody else in your life, are you leaving their presence drained or full? These are the options before us. And this is what Ruth makes kind of, this is what the chapter 3 is kind of all about, this idea of bringing about a relationship that's going to bring about a rest and a work and a goodness that's going to come through this. So, let's keep going. By the way, still a better love story than Twilight, just saying. All right, anyway, let's keep going. God's character needs to be reflected in you. It needs to be reflected in you. What do I mean by that? If God says that when you think of Jesus and the way that he loved, that character is called to be reflected from you and invested into others. That's what Jesus wanted for our interpersonal relationships. Let's take a look. This is Boaz speaking to Ruth. May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your kindness to be better than the first by not going after the young men, whether poor nor rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. I find that amazing. But let me recap for a second. I'm going a little fast. Naomi gets the idea that you should go find rest in Boaz, right? Then she says, oh, I got this great idea. Oh, it's going to be brilliant. You're going to go to Boaz after they're having their like after work party, right? So the harvest is over and they're kind of having a Christmas party. It's kind of what they're having. It's like the end of the fiscal season or whatever it is. Anyway, so there's this party and she says, you need to kind of like sneak in there at night, wait till he's done eating and drinking, right? Probably a good idea, like, because obviously guys are evidently more happy on a full stomach, right? So anyway, go in, talk to him, uncover his feet, which was an act of submission, right? Lay your head there and wait for him to wake up. This is the bit. Oh, by the way, she also says, go and get yourself a glow up. By the way, she says, go get yourself a glow up, by the way. Go wash yourself, get your perfume on, go look pretty, smell good, go out and see him, right? This is Naomi's big, this is her big to-do, right? Anyway, that brings us to this place. When Boaz finally wakes up, he sees Ruth there. And notice he doesn't mention her attractiveness. He doesn't mention anything she's done. Look what he mentions, her character. Every single person in the city knows that you are a woman of excellence. Why? Because the way that you loved, the way that you loved Naomi, and the way that you loved God. And all of a sudden, Boaz begins to realize that this is a person that he wants to be invested into, not because of all the, not because of how she looks, not because of how she dresses, not because of any money she has, or lack thereof, but because of her character. Our character speaks volumes. What we bring into a relationship, and it's godly character that we're called to invest into relationships, whether it is intimate relationships or whether it is platonic relationships, it matters not. What are we bringing into these relationships? I would challenge you, if you want to see relationships grow and go deeper, bring godly character into those relationships and watch as they begin to thrive. That's what it is. Wash, but yes, girl. Anyway, keep going. Needs to be reflected in you. What do people say? What do people know about you? What are you known by? She was known as a person of excellence. The question is, can people say the same thing about us? One of the biggest ways we can improve our relationships is to reflect godly character in it. Jesus did it. He brought godly character to everything he did. And my challenge is that we are called to do the same. Let's get into this point. All right, number one, restful relationships, what do? Well, they take ownership of others' issues. Let's take a look. But now, although it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is also a redeemer more closely related than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until the morning. Now, we have drama. We have a drama now all of a sudden in the story. Ruth is set up to have Boaz as her redeemer. By the way, just so you know, in the culture, your closest relative was called to take the family upon himself and to be the redeemer of the family if tragedy struck the family. And so he was a close relative, but he says, there's actually one person even closer. And now we have drama because now it's the will they won't though. Will they won't they, right? It's the Jim and Pam of the Bible here, right? Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? That's an Office reference, just so you know, Tammy. Anyway, so she's looking, I have no idea. So will they won't they? It's now there's tension, right? Is it going to happen? Is it going to not? And now we have to add a little drama into the story just to make things even better. And so he says, there's actually going to be somebody closer than me. And look at this. He says, lie down, take a breath, we'll figure it out together. I think that's amazing. Like Boaz says, well, you better go figure that out, right? Well, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you today. You came all this way, you uncovered my feet for nothing. Like, sorry about this. But instead, he says, I know the issue, lie down here, we'll take care of the issue together. We'll see this through. I think it's fantastic that Boaz begins to take this young woman's issues upon himself. How many of us brought a whole bunch of stuff into some of our relationships, whether friendships or relationships, intimate relationships? By the way, whether you think you did or you didn't, you did, just so you know. We all have baggage that we bring into relationships. And great godly relationships, what they do is they actually take a hold of each other's stuff. How many of you have a friend that when they had an issue, it became your issue all of a sudden, right? Ooh, you when do I talk to him or whatever? Whatever's going in, right? Whatever's going on in some of the relationships. As a godly relationship, we are called to take ownership of each other's stuff. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more edifying, godly, and restful when you have somebody come along you and say, we'll do this together. We're going to face this together. Your issue is now my issue, and we're going to see it through. This is one of the coolest places that we see in the book of Ruth, how relationships can be restful when you begin to take ownership of each other's stuff. It's not just yours, it's mine. It's ours. We all bring things into relationships. I just want you to understand that, and how you deal with them is very important. And if you want a relationship to be restful, to be a place where instead of draining, it grows, one of the ways that we can do that is begin to kind of take a little bit of ownership of each other's stuff. We'll get through this together. We're in this together. Look at Naomi's response here. She says, wait, my daughter, until you know how this matter turns out. For the man will not what? Do you see it? This man will not rest until he gets this matter settled out today. Boaz himself was not going to rest. In fact, that which she wanted for Ruth was not going to happen on Boaz's end, because he was going to fight tooth and nail for Ruth. I find that incredible. How many of us can that be told of us in our relationships? I am not going to rest. I'm going to see it through. I'm not going to give up. We're going to get through this together. I just love this whole response here. So he will not rest. Relationships take ownership of each other's issues. So the first thing that we're called to do is, if you want a relationship to be restful, begin to take ownership. Begin to take just possession of some other people's things. This isn't just a your thing. This is an our thing. Second point, be more of a giver than a taker. Boaz says again, give me your shawl that is on you and hold it. And he held out and he measured 6 measures of barley. So like before she leaves for the night, which by the way, it was this like kind of secret kind of thing. She's kind of like sneaking out in the middle of the night kind of thing. And before she goes back home, he's like, here, she's like throwing barley at her. He's like giving her all this barley so she can go home and be blessed. Very generous maneuver. By the way, don't let your teen use the excuse, by the way, that since she stayed overnight, that they can stay overnight. It doesn't work that way, just so you know. So don't let that. But it worked okay for Ruth. Let's not use that as a Bible gospel lesson for our teens. But what I want you to see is Boaz's desire to actually be a blessing to her. He gives her a little bit of barley to remember by. Do you remember when you were like first, like all cutesy dating? You used to do all the little cute things for each other. Remember that? Maybe some of you got notes or some of you got little cute gifts or whatever, right? Tabitha frequently reminds me that I don't do that as anywhere in any sense of frequency like we used to. By the way, so Boaz like tries to like, ooh, like he like gives her some like, by the way, Adam, fellas, Mother's Day is coming up. Nothing says happy Mother's Day like some barley, just so you know. And it worked for him. I don't know. It worked for him. Like just be like, here's some sheaves. You know? So, Some of you did all these cute little stuff, right? Tab remembers all the little cutesy things I did for her, right? To be a giver than a taker. Remember when you put your spouse before yourself when you were dating? Oh my God, you thought of him all the time. Oh my God, I'm a like a little scavenger hunt or whatever it is that you did to just impress them. This is what Boaz is doing. Don't lose that. Can I just challenge you? Don't lose that. Do something cute for your spouse this week. Do something cutesy, right? Even if it makes them roll their eyes, right? They secretly love it. All right, keep moving. Tab asked me one time how much we should give towards our relationship, right? How much are you going to invest in our relationship? And I said, well, 50% of my end, 50% of your end. She said, nope. I said, well, that's 100%. She goes, you give 100 and I give 100. That's what we do. And I remember it was one of those, like, I'm trying to calculate this whole thing. I'm like, wait, what? And she was absolutely right. Like, I'm going to give everything I am. I'm going to give all that I am to you, and you're going to give all I am to me, and this is how we're going to make this thing work. And so in relationships, we're called to give it our all at all times. And so Boaz, it's this cutesy little act of making sure she's blessed. But in reality, what he's saying is, I want to make sure that you have everything you need and that you are remembered me by giving to you. So all I'm saying is, there's so many times that we want to take from relationships. I want, give to me. But what we're called to do is be people who give to others. Be a giver than a taker. To provide rest, if you want a relationship to be restful, you have to be a giver as well as a taker. And this is where I want to end here today. So as we've taken a look through here, we're called to allow our relationships to be places of rest. Places where I need to invest here, where I need to take some ownership of some issues, or I can be in a place where I actually want to be more of a giver than a taker. I guarantee you this week you're going to have an opportunity to provide rest into some of your interpersonal relationships. You're going to be challenged to say, I don't want to deal with that issue today. Figure it out on your own. You got into this mess. You can figure it out, however that might be. You can begin to say, okay, what can I get out of this relationship rather than how can I invest into this relationship? But in what we're called to be, how God wants relationships to be, is to be a place where we invest into them, and they're a place of rest. Just think for a second. How would this week be a little bit different if we could try to provide rest for somebody else? How would we carry a load for somebody this week? How can we make somebody feel God's presence and power come from us and invest into others? That's the challenge. So the two batteries are still up on the screen there. You got two batteries. If you want to see, if you are like that dead battery and you want to see it full, look for relationships that invest into you. As well as if you know somebody who's drained, who's down on their, if they are down with maybe it's a friend or they are drained, what we're called to do is bring rest to them. And that will look like showing God's character, taking up their relation, taking up their issues, and most importantly, giving to them rather than taking from them. Those are some of the challenges we have before us. Let me pray. Lord, your book in the book of Ruth is meant to be a place where we find all this opportunity for us to see how this young couple, at least maybe Ruth and this couple, invested into each other. And there is a desire for your work and your will to be on display. And Naomi's heart for Ruth to find a place of rest. Lord, I pray that our relationships would be restful here. I pray for marriages, our marriages in this room, to be places of restoration and hope. I pray for friendships to be godly and restoring, to be uplifting and life-giving. And so, Lord, challenge us this day. Maybe some of us need to kind of dive in and maybe take an issue upon ourselves. Maybe some of us need to realize we've taken so much, but we need to give. Maybe some of us want to see your character flow through all that we say and do. Lord, guide and lead us today. Challenge us today with your word, with your will, with your power, and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.